Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the Feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, three.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 375. We are living that Rookie Fever hive. I'm here, as always, with the Feverish Fanero.
What up?
And we brought on Eric Froton, lead college fantasy football and lead college football analyst for NBC and Roto World. I think I got that right. It's a mouthful. He's actually retired from that. He's done writing the profiles for now, and we have moved on to karaoke. So if you want to see Eric live, you need to go to the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, Ohio. I think this is probably the best plug that the expo has had, to be honest with you.
I think you're probably right.
Sunday night at the Doubletree, see Eric and many others live banging it out on the mic, Fantasy Football Karaoke.
It really is a highlight of the fantasy football off season, and the perfect way to sort of shepherd us into the season is the Fantasy Football Expo, which wraps up the weekend with Sunday night karaoke. So, you know, a lot of people tend to leave on Sunday, like, oh, we got to get back for work. That's a mistake, because frankly, Sunday night's the best party night of the expo. And everybody goes to the Doubletree now. Like, Bob definitely, he hit it out of the park by scheduling the karaoke, as I sagely advised, at bringing the karaoke from Jose's Landing to the Doubletree. So now it's on site where everybody's there, and it's like, it's what an amazing event capper. Everybody's there. Everybody has a great time. And my, oh my, do I have something planned for you all this year. Get ready.
But you have to be there to find out. I have to ask you this. We didn't talk about this pre-show. Does Bob get on the mic?
Bob, I think he does get up there. Yeah, I think Bob's a gamer, you know. Yeah, he gets up there and he'll sing a tune or two. Sure.
Yeah. Are they songs from Top Gun?
Oh, God.
You've lost that love and feeling.
Oh, well, definitely. You get that. I mean, in a four-hour karaoke session at the Doubletree that is, you know, pretty much we're churning the whole time. It's not like there's no, like, skipping a beat. There's no, like, hey, we need somebody to come up. No. It's full the whole time. You're going to get You've Lost That Love and Feeling, Righteous Brothers, once. It's inevitable. It's happening. Sweet Caroline. Sweet Caroline is happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a favorite.
Chalk it up. Just get ready for some Neil. Probably a couple Neil songs, frankly.
So we are here to talk to Eric about his rookie life, I guess, again, and how he feels about rookies, the good, the bad, the ugly, bliss, devastation. Last couple weeks, I have opened up the show with either a trade I made or a trade I had seen. I want to mention one I seen, and I want to I'll see what you guys think about this. I want to unlock it or give you some of my thoughts while I ask you, though. So this trade in one of my leagues was a 204 for JSN. So they got JSN for a 204.
Wow.
And I think that is rookie fever at its worst. Like, wow, you need a cootie shot. If there was a cootie shot for rookie fever, you freaking need it. And the weird thing about this trade to me, I said I want to unlock a little bit of it really before I give it to you guys. So you're admitting, and I'm not saying JSN is a bust, first of all, but you're admitting it, with this trade, that rookies don't always hit. In your head, you're admitting that you don't think rookies always hit, even a higher draft pick like JSN, but then you're comfortable going 16 picks into the draft to try to replace somebody already because you feel so good about it? I just don't get it. I think what this is kind of what the series has been all about to Fanero and I is like some of that rookie fever at like its best and its worst and what it does to you. And I thought the discussion would kind of like taper down as we got into the rookie drafts and we got going. A lot of these were post drafts when we were doing these shows on how different analysts felt about rookies, rookie fever, et cetera, et cetera. But then you see it like full tilt in the rookie draft. I just got Pat Freiermuth, and this was basically offered to me for a 404, a 405, and a 411 in a tight end premium league.
Wow.
Well, that one, I don't want to even comment on that one.
Isn't that crazy? Wow.
Yeah, that's a sure stupid
thing. You know, well, not a sure thing, but I mean, you know, a pretty solid low end TE1.
Yeah, with he hasn't even hit like tight end breakout age. He has time to mature yet.
Oh boy, and I loved Penn State tight ends too.
So
it's the college in me.
Those are some rookie fever mistakes that I've kind of seen happen in leagues. One, obviously, I felt like will help me potentially prosper. This was also on an orphan team I took over, so I felt like it made my team a little bit better right now. A lot of people want all those picks. They think it's going to help them to have some crapshoots on their team. But it sounds like you guys feel similar to how I feel about these trades.
Yeah, well, first off, a couple things. One, good for you for taking on orphans. I have rescued many a stray dog in my life. Big bulldog enthusiast, in fact. That being said, I feel like picking up strays is like, you know, picking up orphan teams. It's a selfless act that, frankly, you should be commended for by not just your other league members, but all of society. You know, I picked up an orphan in my home league with my friends, and these savages, these people, right, who call themselves my friends, started up a dynasty league, refused to let me join. It's like, no, Froton, no, you know too much. No, and I'm like, I'm a college guy, first off, you know, like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And then as soon as one of the guys they chose over me dropped out the following year and drafted 7 defenses on his dynasty team, they gave me that team. And I took it because, damn, I want to beat him. I want to take it and beat him. Well, anyways, I feel your pain taking the orphan. That being said, was this an in-draft trade for the 2-4, or was this a pre-draft trade for the 2-4 for Jackson Smith and Jigba? And
who went? That's a good question. That's a good question.
That's the thing.
I don't have the answer for that. I saw it come across the screen. I was busy at work, so I don't even know what. I don't even know who they picked, if I'm being 100% with you.
Okay, no problem. Here's the thing. 204 is literally the drop-off point. That's it. That's the one. That's where it goes from, I feel good about these guys, to like, all right, I can project it, I see it, I feel good, this is going to have value that could, you know, increase. Mm-hmm. To dice roll / you know, good shot, you feel good, but you're not, hey, I feel great. I feel like it's a 16-player draft. Because and the drafts I've been at, that 2-4 is anyone from, you know, Trey Benson was in my most recent draft. That's a lucrative pick. Mm-hmm. You know, Trey Benson has a very profitable future, you know, over there in a team that's on the rise. You know, a team that's young and it's not going to get any worse. He has a chance to be part of that, you know, the come up of Arizona. And that's something you generally want to be a part of, you know, that trifecta between Kyler, Harrison, and him when 29-year-old Connor goes. Yeah. I've also seen, you know, maybe Penix drops all the way to there. And it's like, all right, well, I have a number 8 overall draft capital quarterback in a super flex league. If you're in a position where you need a developmental quarterback and you got shut out of it in the first round, well, that's a pretty good shot.
Yeah.
Before getting number 8 overall. You generally don't get that most years, but you're kind of getting that now because of the Kirk Cousins factor, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you're going to have somebody that's going to get a legitimate, viable shot. It's happening. You got to wait 2 years, though. It's entrenched in that contract.
Yep.
So, fine. You look at that. Or either, you know, I got worthy at 2-2. I know that doesn't happen very often. Or potentially Ladd slap.
I was going to say Ladd. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I look at all those guys. You know, Thomas isn't going to probably fall that far, just draft capital-wise. But he's in that same tier for me with that group of wideouts. So, or, you know, Bowers isn't going to slip that far, but somebody is. There's 16 players that they always go in that first 16 slots to that 2-4. So that 2-4 pick has value to me that the 2-5, I think, You need something to happen in order to get one of those guys at 2.5 that you know you're going to get at 2.4. It's math.
So I bet you'd be smitten to draft JSN at 2.01, let alone 2.04, 2.05.
That being said, it's JSN. It's one season. This is, we're going full metal Treylon Burks on him here.
Yeah.
You know, we're just gonna hand wave him to the side here. Ah, no big deal. Yeah, we got a 32-year-old Tyler Lockett. Did they give him an offseason contract? Or was it last year they gave Lockett another deal?
I think he's got 2 years.
Yeah. Well, which I mean, it's all funny math, but he's there for one more year, and then I gotta think. Gosh, he's 32.
Dude, but he's got that slide down. I'm worried about Tyler Lockett because he won't even let himself get tackled. Like, he just slides when he knows it's about to happen.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's going to be one of the, I think he's going to play as long as he can, even if, I think he'll try to play out that contract. That being said, anything can happen.
Yeah, 2 year, 30 mil.
Don't get me wrong. Go get it. And that's good money.
Yep.
But, I mean, the succession plan is there. How? I mean, DK too. His option deal's coming up soon.
Yep. I've seen Penix go as late as 2.11.
2.11. That's pretty late.
Yeah.
In a dynasty? I mean, he's number 8 overall. And, you know, I was at the – I had the opportunity to watch Penix several times, I'd say, in person. Because I saw him throw every – I go at the Elite 11 camp at Redondo Beach last year. He was one of the counselors because they have college guys go in for the high school kids. It was him. Talia Tagovailoa and Jaden Daniels, and then Caleb showed up for day one to skip around and look just like ridiculous. But then he didn't come the rest of the time. So he was awesome. I mean, ridiculous is like the guy's arm talent. It's undeniable. But I got to watch Penix there. I got to watch him against Arizona State, where he had a hard time in Washington, and I got to watch him against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, live and direct, all those, you know, in person, and then again at the Senior Bowl. I got to see him throw all over the place. When he is settled in the pocket and you give him time to throw and you've got a line in front of him, that man can drop some dimes. He's got a good, solid, nice over-the-top release, clean delivery, and he has touch on those hole shots and the downfield passes. Second and third level shows, the throws, he's got them. And he had three stars that he's throwing to out there. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, I really, it's all about his double ACLs. It's about his inability or his lack
his
of
age.
Wanting
he's
to
a little
throw
older.
Off. He's older. He doesn't throw on the run very well at all. That's concern. You know, out of structure. You're going to have to do that in the NFL. Like, I haven't seen him do that, you know?
Yeah.
But in terms of being a pocket passer and being able to dissect, he can do that. He's got that arm. So I think 2.11, I think that's just a smoking deal for him. I think you get him anything past that 2.4 for Penix, and that's a nice deal.
Yeah.
So that 2.4 pick does have value to me, but not JSN value, respectfully.
Well, I know that Fanero and I are both happy to hear that you're high on Benson and you're high on Penix. We've talked about both those players a little bit the last couple weeks. Benson is one of Fanero's guys as well. That being said, I gotta toss it to Fanero really quick. He's got some exciting news to tell you about DynastyNerds.com, and I know he's got some stuff to get off his chest to throw back towards Eric. So give it to you real quick, Feverish.
All right, dude. Yeah, I can't prove anything, but there's a rumor out there that we lost a listener or two to not doing our rookie player profiles, but I believe that they're still with us and looking forward to our late, and I use air quotes, our late takes on these landing spots and diving into the rest of this offseason with our new 2024 class and officially naming our 2023 rewinds. But I also believe that we received new listeners that love what we're doing in this offseason, and I want to remind those listeners that we have an affiliation with DynastyNerds.com, where you can use promo code FEVER and save 15%. That is on any package, anytime, all time. So take advantage of that. We love this site. We have really been involved in this series and want to bring it back up to the new listeners that we got. They are absolutely killing it over there. And we are too. They congratulated us on quite the endeavor of getting new people there on their site. We're proud of that. We think it's a natural fit for Rookie Fever listeners, most of them being smart Dynasty players taking advantage of this offer. And we just wanted to bring it up again to them and maybe the people who have forgot. DynastyNerds.com. Check it out.
It's also one of the best places you can go to check out like roster ship and just some of those little things. Like the tools on it are impeccable. It's a tough site to beat.
Lots Dynasty. Of tools. All right, Eric. I want to first congratulate you because you probably won't humble brag, but on being 2023's FSWA College Sports Writer of the Year. Congratulations. Second time, I believe, you won this award.
Thank you very much. And that is correct. And it keeps getting tougher and tougher every year. There's more and more people in the space that continue to support the college fantasy football and C2C Devy movement and Rookie Fever movement, of course. And just excited to help bring it to the forefront. Hopefully more people catch on to that as well.
Yeah, man. Congrats. So we're going to start off with the question I've asked every single guest. But I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you slightly differently. I ask every guest, "What do rookies mean to you?" And I say that that's a very open-ended question. Take it any way you like. But I have a question for you right before that one. When you hear rookie, being a longtime college fantasy player, do you think college rookie or do you think NFL rookie? When I say that,
no, I think NFL rookie. Okay, there's no such thing. There is no lexicon.
No supplemental draft rookie fever.
In the college vernacular, that there's a rookie. I never say the word
freshman
rookie in college. So that is, there's no line crossing. It's true or red shirt, you know, or it's fresh, it's, you know, senior, whatever, it's classes. That's
it. Well, what do rookies mean to you? What do NFL rookies mean to you?
NFL rookies, it's finishing school for me. It's the end. It's the end and the cycle begins anew. So I look at the draft as goodbye. Goodbye. I don't know why you say goodbye. I then say hello, as the great Beatles once sang, to the freshman class and to, you know, cobbling together right now the 2025 stuff just to make sure I have that all together. But I'm worried about my fantasy college rankings because I have to go through 134 teams. So I go.
Holy cow. That's how many leagues you're in? Is that what you just said?
134 teams, yeah.
Wow.
So I go through the college landscape first for fantasy, and then I pare it down for Devy. And then, you know, I go through the freshman class coming in, and then I go through the senior class about to go through. So it's like it's those different layers of how I handle the immediate post-draft. So for me, for rookies in Dynasty, it's like you said, for these orphans that we take over, these labors of love, selfless acts, it's hope. It really is. You know, it's that lifeline to I hit Puka in a couple of my leagues last year, you know, because I'm pretty savvy. I'm on the uptake a little more. So I feel like I can do a little more with these rookie picks than I feel like Joe Average is going to do. So I value them. I like these picks, you know, because I know who these guys are. I've been watching them since they were junior, seniors in high school and, you know, through here. Mm-hmm. So they're finishing for me. I go and toss them on the school because then you got to stand. Like most of the time, I want to be in Dynasty. I like long form storytelling. I like reading long form books. I like it all. I like series as opposed to movies. So I like the depth. So once these rookies go to my roster in the NFL, that's it. They stay there. They're just there. There's nowhere else to go. Maybe I get a trade. Maybe I trade for a pick. Maybe something. But that becomes the end of their life cycle. That's it. Then they retire. Then they go buy, or they go to USFL. So, you know, this is the end. This is the beginning of the end for these players for me. Because I'm looking at them when they're in high school. So, like, that's the beginning. This isn't the beginning for me. High school is the beginning.
Eric, Rookie. I don't know if your set list is final for karaoke or not, or if you're going to like my ideas, but you gave me these ideas while you're talking. I don't know if you meant to do this.
I love creative class.
So I would love to hear The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow as a tribute to orphan teams. And then you could do This Is the End by The Doors. As a tribute to them when the rookies move to your dynasty teams.
Nice.
And it is
Did you do that on purpose?
It would be a perfect song. It would be a perfect song. It really would, because that's a very somber song. I mean, hell, this is
close
the
it
end.
Down with that. Yeah.
This Is the End was the final scene of Apocalypse Now. Does it get any more somber and fucked up? I mean,
you are fine.
Dark. Does it get any more dark than that?
Sad.
Bro, we're talking about, you know, Colonel Kurtz, Sergeant Kilgore, Marlon Brando, Martin Sheen. I mean, all of it coming together, the horror. I don't know. That would be kind of, that's not a karaoke song because it's going to bring the room down. This is the end. And plus, it's like 10 minutes long. I'm just going to be stroking myself off up there on the microphone. Just
drop the mic and walk out the door.
That's one of the key tenets of karaoke up there. You get... Don't overstay your welcome either.
No.
Hey, let's keep it moving here, fella. You know? So that's the other thing is, you know, I always want to leave the crowd wanting more. I want to give them the goods, but I don't want to give them too much so that they've seen enough and they don't want to see what happens next year.
Do you have
that
moves?
Fine line.
Do you have like moves up there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you got
moves. As long as the table's strong enough, he's got moves.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm jumping on the table. That was like 3.5 feet high. I need a running start to do it. I mean, and trust me, Prime Froton, I'm broad jumping that, no problem. I've dunked thousands of times. I was a college basketball player. You know, I still play. Still an absolutely ferocious power forward.
We should have a 3-on-3 competition at that.
Bro, I've been begging for a 3-on-3 competition from anybody who wants it.
Yeah, that'd be
fun.
I don't think you understand what you're getting yourself into. You gotta get somebody big to guard me. I mean, I'm 6'3", 210, and you know, chiseled out of granite.
I accept the challenge, but now we can't be on the same
page. So, you know, I need somebody who can at least bang me. I can't have somebody who's 6 foot being like, oh, I'm going to cover you, Froton. Like, all right. You don't understand how this goes. No. Anybody under 6 feet, first off, no, you're not covering me. Don't ask to cover me. Don't get switched on me. It's going to be very bad for you with me on the block. And especially when you try to get a shot off. Like, you won't be able to get a shot off. I won't allow you. I'm a praying mantis.
So
I control the paint.
So somehow we went to karaoke moves on stage to basketball moves. I'm gonna set up three on three. I want it. I think it'd be fun.
Dalton
Cates, me and Dalton. I don't know who our third will be. Bainbridge. Yeah, I got three. I got three ready. Get your three.
After all that talk, I honestly don't even want to be on your team.
No, you. Sweat, you're tall though, right? How tall are you?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm probably like a 6'1.5. I would say
perfect.
A 6'2.
Oh, dude, you can cover me.
Well, that I mean, I know that you're. I would probably frustrate you, but you have some weight on me for sure. But I feel like I would frustrate you.
I wonder how I would do out there.
I'm having
fun. Seven.
A lot of it's having fun. I'm sure you'd be able to frustrate me and follow me a little bit.
Well, let's move back over to how about rookie drafting strategy moves. You got any rookie drafting strategy moves you want to share with us?
Yeah, you know
said you love those picks, right? You love those picks. You got any?
Tiers are so important. Just first off, strategy moves is simple. Watch what's happening in, you know, check out the mocks. I like going on to YouTube, listening to the shows, figuring out what is happening at your selections. You're going to know what you have for a while heading into this draft. Research. If you, for instance, in my home league, I had the 108. You know, I had, well, this is like my total reset year from my rebuild, but whatever. Cause I had the 108 and I had the 110 and I had the 111, right? So I'm looking at it and saying, all right, how am I going to, I rebuilt I don't have a pick that's in that top, you know, tier. I have three first rounders, but I don't have one up there in the top five, six to get a premium quarterback. I'm not going to get a quarterback, and I need a quarterback in this league. I have Derek Carr and Bryce Young. Bryce Young, man. I'm still holding out hope. So I need a QB. You know, I packaged a couple picks to move up. You know, took that 10 to move up to the 5. I was able to select Drake May. And then when it came down to the 11 pick, or excuse me, I traded up from the 11, and I traded back from the 10 because Brock Bowers is still on the board, and I didn't need a tight end. And I'm fine with a 235-pound tight end on the Raiders. Have fun. And traded back, gathered an extra 2-9, dropped back to the 2-2, still got Xavier Worthy, who I was going to take either McConkey and Worthy at that 10. Traded back, got Worthy anyways, gathered an extra pick from my rebuild, and managed to grab, I want to say, I think that was Corum, Blake Corum. So great, just throw out there a good running back with potential, with a small, you know, guy in front of him with draft capital that I think is a good grinder who can score touchdowns. Fine. So
I feel like Blake Corum is going to be my most rostered rookie coming out of these drafts. And I think probably part of it is because of the unhealthy relationship I have with U of M. And so it makes me wonder, do you have any unhealthy relationships from just all the grinding you do on all of these rookies where there's guys you have to have like that? Have you built any unhealthy relationships?
Oh, God.
Of course. That's what Finero and I call them.
That's what it's all about. I mean, that's frankly why you play college fantasy and then bring those priors to your drafting, of course. Yeah, love my guys, you know, my dudes, if I can get my dudes. But like Keon Coleman last year, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I had more shares of Keon Coleman than any human being on earth heading into the 2023 season. Were you aware of this, guys?
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Both C2C and college fantasy football. Nobody. Nine shares. Keon Coleman.
Nine.
So that's a lot of pre 2023 Keon Coleman shares.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
Yeah, it is.
Not a lot of people are out here sounding the drum like I was for Keon Coleman. So like those type of guys, like when you guys right now, you know what I hate? You talk about when I think about rookies. You know what I think about rookies? I think about these guys in your sphere. Well, I got to listen to these people who the amount they know about these players compared to me fits in a thimble. And they try to claim these players as their own. Oh, I discovered Jermaine Burton.
Yeah.
Oh, Malachi Corley. I figured it all out. I've seen the light, you know?
It's so true.
I'm sorry. It's nauseating. By about, like, after the draft capital gets assigned and they all come out with their February and March takes, I just want to vomit. So, yeah. Another reason why you got to play college fantasy football, because that nobody can say they're first on me, because I can go, look at that's yours, right? My favorite, my 2025, it's already happening in 2025. My favorite 2025 guy, you know who it is, right?
No.
Carson Beck. Oh, everyone loves Carson Beck QB1 now. Oh, everybody's here. Here he is, the savior. Fucking guy sat behind Stetson Bennett. 3 years, okay?
Mm.
He was not owned in a single C2C league anywhere. I know. I have four of them, right? he wasn't owned anywhere heading into last season. I saw he had Gunnar Stockton, who was over-recruited as a five-star in front of him. You had Brock Vandegrift, who was recruited in front of him, who was a five-star. And he was the old man coming in, long in the tooth, right, to do his thing. I see him in the spring game, and I almost fainted at how good he looked immediately. I said, okay, there it is. I knew it last year. I knew it right away. Went 4-for-4 in my C2C, my Campus to Canton leagues, getting Carson Beck everywhere. And I wasn't getting him first round. I was getting him second round, fifth round. Start up, I got him 12th round. Like, he wasn't some in-demand guy. Nobody had any sort of a beat on him last year. And you got to remember, if you do the homework, and this is why Debbie leagues are so good, you're going to
pick those guys up before everybody pulls the dynasty. I was here. I saw him walk from the shining light. Upon birth, he's mine, right? You don't have to listen to that.
Yeah.
Then you pull out your Debbie shares and you go, here they are. Like, you don't have to go full on, you know, sicko Froton college fantasy football for 2 decades. Right? I know that isn't realistic for everybody. But you throw on a five dude taxi squad of Debbie, right? It's just a dynasty league with a 3, 4, 5, however many you want to do. 3, 2. Just a couple dudes who can be your guys who tie you into college, right? So you'll have a Debbie depleted draft coming out, but you'll have 2 or 3 guys that you watch and say, Carson Beck was my guy. You can do that. And no one can take that from you. And that's the beauty, because it gets you invested in college, which is frankly a more fun game anyway. And that's my soliloquy on that. That's my rant.
But, you know, I love that. But I think there's also a humbling side to that, too, like for you. And you are part of people's research. Like, people are going through you, even if they're not going to swallow their pride and give you the credit. You are one of those people that has the power in that college landscape. Devi, dynasty, everything you've just mentioned, you have the power to shift value on a player. So you're right. You absolutely do need to
go on the air.
So there's a humbling side to that as well. I think that you can shift value like that. And I do believe that there are people in the industry that can do that. And I think that you're one of the people in that landscape. So I think that you should wear that on your sleeve with pride and understand that a lot of those players, people that we're referring to that found that guy, found them because of you. They can't say that to their audience, but you should be humbled in that, I think, as well.
And there's, you know, it isn't just, you know, I'm one of them. Don't get me wrong. I've been doing this. I'm pretty much the OG of college fantasy football. I don't know anyone who's been doing it longer than me. But in terms of that, like, you know, that Debbie space, there's some good analysts out there that put out good content. You know, like, you don't have to be intimidated the same way that it probably would have been, call it 3 years ago. You know, there's kind of a dearth of content creators during the pandemic. Everything, there was nothing out there. It was crazy. But then, you know, there's some very talented resources out there now. Debbie Royale, Campus to Canton. Obviously, you guys will scrape into that too. The Dynasty Nerds, my gosh, of course, Dynasty Nerds. I'm going on with Jared Wackerly, who's excellent, next week.
Awesome.
And Garrett Price. So, like, I love what those guys do. Some of the YouTubes. You can go to YouTube now and you can find cuts of these college guys that you're going to be researching. Dynasty Nerds does a phenomenal job of that. You know, and you can watch these guys. You can do the research yourself for these drafts in a manner that you really didn't have access to before. You can watch the game cut. You can watch these. You can go to Patreon. Go to Caddy's Cutups is what it's called. You pay $2 a month and you can get the all 22 of a lot of these guys. You know, so the resources are there for you. There's no reason if you want to get better at the dynasty side at these guys coming in. It's better than ever. And I'm just one of many resources. But, you know, you should, everybody who has interest in dynasty, you only get better by picking up a Devi or a Campus to Canton team. And it just makes your Saturdays fun, too.
Eric, what do you think the biggest mistake people make this time of year?
Probably, you know, not adhering to the tiers. I feel like, you know, you've got the top 7 that's locked in. I know that those 7 guys are going where they're going. And then number 8 is where it becomes, I don't know. You know, I feel like it's Caleb, Marvin, Jaden, Malik Neighbors, May, JJ, Adunze. That's the 7. Bowers going, the Raiders knocks him down. Just does. So he's like the early favorite for that 8 spot, but it's up in the air. You know what I mean? So I would say if you're outside of that top 7, you have a need. You need a quarterback. You're going to have to go there for this year for projectable. I know what I'm getting. You're going to have to be in that range. If you're looking for Knicks, Penix in that second tier or one of those second tier, I think it goes from 108 to 116. You want somebody in that range that you feel that's a good solid shot, the McConkeys, the Worthies, the Colemans, the Benson, the Brooks, the Penix, and Knicks. You know, those guys who, I mean, Knicks, for all the distaste I have for his skill set and what he does,
He is the number 12 overall pick, and he is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And we've seen that, you know what, the talent level right now, especially once you get in the second level after you get an injury, it was abhorrent last year. So, like, that has value. I get it. People are going to want to take those shots. So I think, like, adhering to those tiers. And then I think there's another tier from 17 to 25, 26, where there's that next tier of, like, good shots. It's all the rest of the wide receivers that are, like, there's a whole bunch of really good wideouts. That's so many wideouts that I find attractive. But then there's the you know, this right, this quorum.
As I say, the RBs are in there.
Who's the third? Right quorum? Oh, Marshawn Lloyd. Love Marshawn Lloyd. My third, Marshawn Lloyd. So there's those guys. And then you're looking at, you know, from there on, the Ray Davises, you know, the nice landing spot, mm-hmm. the Tyrone Tracy's, you know, picking and choosing Bucky Irving's one guy away from having a prominent role in Tampa Bay. You know, you look at the situationships matched with, you know, decent talent, and you go that direction. I feel like you hit another tier where you get those good wide receivers and the good running backs, and then it becomes kind of a free-for-all after 26. And that's where the strategy of, all right, you know what, some guys I didn't expect in my home league fell to that fourth round. There was some talent. Tyrone Tracy fell. Malik Washington fell. Ray Davis fell. All those guys we just talked about. Malachi Corley was 311. You know, so there's some talent out there that you don't know who's going to go where. That fourth round is a profitable place, especially if you need a tight end. Got Theo Johnson, Eric Gall all day. That is fourth round material. You know, Theo Johnson, that's where you're getting them. If you're lucky enough to see a Jatavion Sanders slip, you know, even though I kind of prefer Theo Johnson. But still, if you can slip to the fourth round, you look at him. So I think it's a matter of knowing where the tier breaks are, trading within. If you're within a tier and you can move back, as I stated, from 10 to 2-2, 10 to 2-3, you know, bank an extra pick in that third tier, get one of those top 26s, and then you can still get a player of comparable value. I was frankly deciding between in that late first round. I think that's where the value is when it comes to drafts, is just trading within tiers, maneuvering within them, and getting comparable value while banking extra picks, which are, like we said, we don't know if these guys are going to hit or not. I want as many bites at the apple as I can get. If they're fourth rounders, I feel like I can do damage with fourth rounders. You know, that's how I got Puka last year, you know? So that's what you have to remember, is like, there's going to be guys who emerge. You don't really know which one. It might take a couple years, but from a dynasty perspective, you want to have as many bites of the apple as you can while maintaining a good, solid roster.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, and it's also a ton of fun to move down and move within a draft. So, yeah, good advice for sure. Real quick, two decades of college fantasy football. I have to ask you, when does rookie fatigue set in for you? Like, when are you? I know you said you're done with the class when they hit your dynasty roster, but I have a feeling you're kind of done with them before then.
It's weird. It's like, I have my scouting and all my stuff done for skill position players by the time the combine is done. You know, like, I already have my opinions on these guys. I already know how I feel about them after the Senior Bowl. I go to the Senior Bowl, see them move, see them against each other, against the best of the best. I'm like, all right, I know what I've got here. The scouting combine will help, you know, toggle those around a little bit and separate some guys just based on testing. But then as soon as that happens, then I know, okay, well, then I go here and here and here and here and here. And I can just, boom, you know, slot them all in and out, and I know where I want them to be, and I'm good. So by the time I'm done with the combine, that's done. And then I'm just moving on to writing all the defensive and offensive line profiles. You know, we're talking like 220, 30 of them for NBC Sports. And we're talking like, I probably do 250, 300 words per profile, which are very deep and researched. And like, that's my role out there on the team, is making sure I'm putting rich data in. You know, that's my role. So I go right to doing that so that I've already done my work on these guys. I already know what I want to do. It's just a matter of where they're going in drafts, so I know where I can get them. Where, you know, I have my feelings, but I need to know what other people are putting them. because maybe, oh, I can wait a little bit longer in this guy than I thought I could. So my fatigue, it isn't fatigue. It's relief. I have rookie relief is what it is, right? Because I'm done with the profiles. I've written about I know every single guy, whether I like it or not, in this draft class, because I've been living them since they were, seniors sure. in high school and freshmen in college. For most of them, I've been living them for years and years. So I'm just, I know who they are. So it's just, I'm done with the profiles. I'm done. The draft's over. Everything's written. Everything was okay. My bosses are happy with me, and I can be here ready to play, the final regular season game here tonight at the Pacific Beach Recreation Center in lovely San Diego of my softball league, and enjoy it because I have accomplished all I needed to accomplish with the process. I got to go to the Senior Bowl. I got to go to the Scouting Combine. Got to see all my friends there and see new people and meet Jim Harbaugh and interview all the players. So, like, I get to do amazing things. So it's like, it's not even like I get fatigued by it. I get to go throughout this process and do things that very few people get to do. So I love it. I got to interview Spencer Rattler and Dylan Lobby and Ryan Flournoy.
That's awesome.
And I got to talk to Devontae Walker about the UNC Clemson game where I was there. I was on the sidelines working it for NBC Sports with Sean Stellato, Tommy DeVito's agent, and my good friend from when I was 14 years old playing AAU basketball. Sean and I played basketball together. And his nephew, Troy, plays for Clemson. So, we were there watching the game. I watched Devontae Walker take Nate Wiggins, who was a first-round cornerback, to the house on a 60-yard bomb from Drake May. And I watched it, like, I can see it in still shot in my mind. I'm watching it happen. I was just like, oh, damn! And Nate Wiggins ran the second fastest 40 time at the Combine to Xavier Worthy. So, like, he took him down to the house, and I got him to walk through that process with me. That was like,
nice.
What a thrill. You could talk to him and do that. So cool. Like, I don't have fatigue. I'm lucky to get to do what I do. I love talking about these guys. Come on, every show, anybody who asks me to do it, I do it. I want to talk about every guy every time for as long as it's relevant. And then now that the draft is over, I'm ready to turn the page. It's not fatigue. It's just, I don't get fatigued. Because once I get fatigued, right, you guys get fatigued. Because it's like, all right, well, this is the last. This is the rookie class. For me, I'm like, all right, now I turn the page and I go through the process that we just talked about.
Yeah,
the process begins anew. Mm-hmm. So I'm like getting all that out of the way. Like, it's done. It's out of the way. And now I get to do what I really, truly enjoy and what really gets me excited. And that's checking out the seniors, checking out, putting my board in order. Like, I have probably a 400 player board for college fantasy that I have to have, collated and ready to go at all times because I do, 30 drafts. Mm. So I have to have all this stuff together. You know what I mean? So I'm doing all this huge prep work going through 134 teams now. So I've been doing all day. So it's just that it just begins anew. It's the cocoon. It's a cocoon. You go, the metamorphosis, it runs its cycle. You break out. There goes the 2024 rookie butterfly, and then we go right back in, and you start the process again.
I can tell you enjoy it, and I can also tell that it takes a whole hell of a lot of work and energy. I hear it.
It's insane. I love it when the NFL guys come down. I love it when you guys come down and want to play the college fantasy game. Come on down, guys. Give me your money. Play a league with me.
I have one last question for you that's away from the normal series that we've been hitting, and it's a specific player. I heard you mention a name a couple times. I think he is at value, currently going as a high second round pick, as low as 2-4, 2-6 area, and that's Keon Coleman landing in Buffalo. The reason I bring up that name is it seems like the Twitterverse is kind of very polarizing guy, because it seems like he runs slow in the combine. That doesn't count, right? It's the underwear Olympics. Doesn't count, doesn't matter, whatever. But his stock did seem to go in the dynasty community anyway quite a bit, and these drafts are kind of proving it. I was just curious, what do you feel about that landing spot with Keon Coleman?
Landing spot's astounding. Yeah, I mean, what more do you want? It was Kansas City and Buffalo. Who's going to win the wide receiver lottery, right? Won the wide receiver lottery. And to an extent, San Diego. But with Ladd, I've watched a lot of Michigan. I know what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. And it's not air the ball out all over the place. So that is not quite the Justin Herbert. You know, yeah, it's great. But it's not quite the landing spot that, you know, it could be. Going to Buffalo is premium. It's perfect. I mean, it's best case scenario, especially for a skill set where, yeah, you know what? Yeah, people are giving Keon Coleman. People go and they look, oh, that's his track time. He going ran a 4.62. Yeah, all right. Well, he's also 6'4", 220. Okay. Yeah. He's also 6'4", 220. He also returned kicks, punts.
Yep.
You know how many guys who were 6'4", 220 return punts? I know one. You know, who does in the NFL? Who's the 6'4", 220 guy who returns punts in the NFL?
I can't even think of somebody that big doing that.
Ian Harditz's favorite, my boy Ian, Cordarrelle Patterson. He's the only one.
Oh, is he that tall? Yeah, I guess he is.
Oh, dude,
yeah.
he's a big boy. He's tall.
Holy shit.
He's a freak.
Yeah, he's very athletic. Very athletic.
That's why he went in the first round, because they're like, oh, my God, if we can teach you to run a route, it's over. And they couldn't.
Yep.
But teach him to kick, catch a kick, right?
Yep. That's why he became a running back.
Manufactured touch him, bring him in on the gadgets. That's
not a good receiver, but he can run.
Awesome. You just put the ball in his hand. Just get it in his hand and let him do that, and he's gold. So that's like, first off, like that is the level of athleticism you're talking about for just anybody at the D1 level, especially at Florida State, undefeated in the ACC, to be returning punts, right? Yeah, you say, oh, well, he disappeared some games. Yeah, well, you know what? Jordan Travis, who was the sixth quarterback drafted ahead of Spencer Rattler. That was a surprise. And was in the running for the Heisman until he tore up his knee, you know, late in the season. He didn't have Jordan Travis for the last 4 or 5 games. And let me tell you, they were working with a third-string quarterback. They had A.J. Duffy in there, transferred to San Diego State. He's probably going to be transferring out. I know. I live in San Diego. A.J. Duffy is not handling the San Diego State job right now. He was their starting quarterback. So, you know, at Florida State, and that's who was throwing at Keon Coleman. All right, so remember that. We're going to go with the underwear Olympics. Does it matter? No. Does it matter? Yeah. Does it matter he ran a 4.62? All right, fine. What do you think Drake London ran? Right? Drake London? You like Drake London in your drafts? I hope
a lot of people like Drake London. Yeah.
If you don't like Keon Coleman, don't draft Drake London. He ran a 4. He's a 4.6. Even though he's literally a physical freak. And they have what they have in common, both those guys, right? Drake London and Keon Coleman, both of them were D1 caliber basketball players. Drake London was on, both of them played on the basketball team at USC and Michigan State for their first season. They're that good. As a basketball player, you've all heard, as a physical power forward who can also, you know, penetrate
chiseled
from the perimeter, like I can do whatever you need and cover up, cover down, whatever you need. The best athletes are basketball players. It's a fact. The best big athletes are converted basketball players. That is Keon Coleman. You look at his jumps. Like, they think, okay, because he doesn't run fast, he's not an athlete. Check out his jumps. Check out his 41.5, 42 vert. Check out his broad. Like, these are 100th percentile jumps for his size that he has. Like, the physical package, it isn't all just the 4.62 40, right? It's not how Drake London wins. Rare athlete big men can do that. Drake London is a rare athlete big man. Keon Coleman is a rare athlete big man. And that's how I feel about him. I know he doesn't have the metrics. He doesn't have the yards per route numbers, 1.74. And you're going to see, and I know, anybody under 2 yards per route average statistically over their career is not going to have a chance of breaking out. The numbers aren't great. But, again, you got to remember that quarterback that he was dealing with. You have to account for these things. Stats nerds. So I am not as bearish on Keon Coleman as others. Like, you're going to look and say, all right, well, Treylon Burks, like, they're different. They're different in terms of their bodies. They're different in terms of how they win and their just overall athleticism, their quickness. Keon Coleman's a different guy than that. I don't like that comp. I don't think that's fair. I like more of, like, he could be Drake London is what I see. Okay. So he's not a bad athlete. And with the speed, he was the only wide receiver to run over 20 miles an hour in the gauntlet drill, and he ran it on a button. He ran it on a dime. He wasn't Troy Franklin, where he was running it like he was a cone drill. He was literally doing figure eights all the way down the field. He ran on a dime. straight as an arrow at 20 mph on the gun. No other wide receiver did that. Is that a test of his athleticism? Am I worried about him? Is 4.62 when he's doing that in game speed? He's catching passes and he's doing it?
Right.
No, no. So there's mitigating factors with Keon Coleman that I don't think are being accounted for by the you know, the Dynasty Intelligentsia, who had never heard his name up until January. So forgive me.
Yep. Swags, I'm going to toss it back over to you, see if you have any questions or you want to get us out of here.
I do have a couple questions, if we can make time for them. So one, I'm curious, who is a player in the first round-ish in rookie drafts that you want absolutely nothing to do with? There's no sweet spot. You don't feel like he's going to help your dynasty teams unless you trade him away. Somebody you advise us to avoid in your rookie drafts. Somebody you're just not with it.
Bo Nix. Easy call. I don't awesome. Like him. I don't like him. I didn't think he was a first round quarterback. I thought he's second rounder. Great. Somebody takes a flyer. Maybe they trade up in the late first. Fine. But Denver got desperate. I mean, he just doesn't have the ability to throw the ball downfield. And maybe he Brock Purdy's his way to relevance because it's Sean Payton. Maybe. Right?
Well, so that segues into my next question really well. So before you go on any more about Bo Nix, my question is, will it be tougher for Sean Payton to bench Bo Nix than it was for him to bench Russell Wilson?
Well, you heard the stories about Russell Wilson coming out, right? I mean, he wasn't exactly studious from the way that the leaks have painted it, where he just did his own thing. Had to simplify the playbook down to just like an acorn size because they tell him to do something. Here's the play, and he do whatever he wants. That's why they got him out and paid the biggest.
Yeah, I actually didn't hear that. I missed that.
Is because he was, I guess, just he's listening to his own music when he's out there, and he seems like he is. I mean, tell me that doesn't fit with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
So with that. I just to Bo Nix's credit, my gosh, do I admire his skill set and talent for where he's getting drafted? You know, no, I don't like him for that. Do I think the guy is going to go in there and give it a good old shot and listen to Sean Payton? Yeah, he can do that. I'm not worried
about him
going off script and be like, "No, Sean Payton, no, I'm Bo Nix. I'm coming in here, I'm running my own offense." That is not happening. Okay, so. I mean, being a malcontent is—he's not Russell Wilson. He's going to get his shot, and he ran a straight system at Oregon. All right, like he had out of the 2024 draft class the lowest time to throw out of anybody in the class. So, like, most of it is either like a quick RPO, okay, the linebacker sucks up, hit the hook zone, or it's right out of gun, turn shot, hitting a slant to Tez Johnson, or it's RPO and he's throwing a go to Troy Franklin down the sideline. Like, that's it. It was the most basic stuff that you're watching here. And he was just doing literally exactly what the system tells you to do. Nothing more. So if Sean Payton wants him to come in and run the system, Bo Nix is going to run the system. He's going to get a pretty good leash, in my opinion. It's just not going to be a good one.
No, I like it. No, that all makes sense. One last question. And if Finero doesn't have, we know you have a big softball game to get to tonight.
Huge one. Cannot be understated.
A little over an hour. Made the time for us this evening. Anytime, man. The welcome mat is always here. But my last question is, is Spencer Rattler the future starting quarterback for the Raiders?
For the Raiders?
Or the Saints, excuse me.
Saints. I think you'll get it.
That was pretty pitiful. Derek Carr was in my head, but I did have the wrong team yet.
No problem. I think they'd love him, too. I think they'd be like, hey, let's give this kid a shot. Why not? Mm-hmm. You got Jake Haener. They took in the fourth round. Let's not forget about Jake Haener and his scintillating picture set. Remember the pictures he took? You guys see the Jake Haener pictures for his every player comes in and they have, like, picture day. His pictures were unbelievable. Look them up. So,
Check that out.
You got Haener there as well that he's got to contend with. It's a fifth-round pick. Haener was actually drafted in front of him. Yeah, people see him and forget that. I was not Rattler was a nice little system quarterback. He went through a lot of adversity, 4 years starting, was in the SEC, got overtaken by Caleb Williams, went through a lot. But you know, he comes out at the combine with a dad bod in tight Hispanic pants. He runs a 40 that was just like so slow. I couldn't even believe it. And it's like, why are you running a 40 when he didn't look like he trained? He didn't look like he was doing anything to train. I couldn't believe his physique. I was like, what's going on, Spencer Rattler? This is like the job audition of your life.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. So he's got to be more like.
You don't sound impressed.
I don't mind him. It's just I don't know if he's the answer. I think he'll get a shot at being the answer. So he's worth like a late third because of that. He'll get a shot at being the answer early fourth.
Would you welcome him onto your three-man basketball team? Would you welcome him?
Rattler, I don't think he was a basketball player. I don't think he was. I'd welcome Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman's in. Me and Keon Coleman, I want in. Let's go.
Now you're playing with just two people now, so you get 2-on-3.
That's fair. Oh, no, me and Keon Coleman against anybody at the expo, it's
any three.
We're gonna destroy anybody. 2-on-3, that's not even fair. You're giving me Keon Coleman?
Yeah.
So you're gonna get the two best basketball players out of the thousand
in the world.
People that are there.
Yep.
Well, just out of the thousand people in attendance.
Probably.
Just, yes. You're going to give me the two against everybody else?
Yes. Fine.
Oh,
well, it wasn't going to give you three.
We would be like minus 2,000 favorites, you know, on Vegas. At least. Maybe minus 20,000. I mean, that's a lock. You're winning that 2-on-3 tournament. Bring us multiple teams. As many as you want.
Taking the 3-on-3, taking karaoke night.
Oh, yeah, karaoke night. Yeah. Denny's my partner karaoke night, to be fair.
Nice.
You should change your Twitter handle. So follow Eric Froton at CFF Froton. It's CF Froton. But he's going to change that to CF Goat. Not really. It's CF Froton.
I don't know if I'm the goat. I'm the OG. I'm the OG. I definitely have the conch shell for being the longest tenured. And I'm also, you know, probably the best on the mic. Best on the mic. Too. Oh, yeah. That helps.
Definitely.
You know?
And the best on the mic.
Yeah, that helps. Having like the authority as the OG and also being the best mic man, it helps.
Well, and that's why I'm zero G.
And the writer, too. That's right. That's right.
Zero G.
Well, yeah, but I also get the writing chops, you know, two-time.
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 Yep.
FSWA College Sports Writer of the Year. Yeah, and the defending, undisputed. Yeah, College Sports Writer of the Year.
And then the softball championship tonight.
Yes, yep.
That's season
it.
Rice. Is there anything you don't do? Season. Can you cook?
I can't cook, but, you know, it's grill. It's grill stuff, you know.
That's not bad.
I'm a carnivore. I'm pretty much a carnivore diet, you know, keto. You know, type prospects. I try to keep the carbs as low as possible.
Yeah, you don't want those soy dogs melting into your grill.
These abs, you know what I mean? Carbs are killers of abs. And when you live in San Diego and you live in the beach life, you know what I mean? I want to make sure my abs are as sharp as possible at all times. And that's what I'm here for. Abs.
Love it.
Panero, anything else?
No, man. Thanks for joining us, Eric. This was a blast.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. As always, fun to be on. And, you know, if a opportunity arises preseason,
nice.
You know, where it's hot and heavy, you need to have me come in and, you know, call me out of the bullpen. Just let me know, boys.
Absolutely. I'm always there. Definitely.
I'm always on first base. Playing first base at the PB Rec Center. You can always find me there every Thursday night.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. One of the best out there. Again, CF Froton on X Twitter. The man I'm always with on the mic at Art Bark TV. I am at Swag00G. This is a Rookie Fever, and we're out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up. You know I'm gonna treat you right, rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight.
That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone's size must be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we get the fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No, you're for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.